The work of this church in the world is realized through the generous financial support of all who call this place home. Along with the gifts and time and talent, ours is a shared ministry. You have a role to play here. Church membership is open to all. For more information, go to uusf.org.
There are moments when you get surprised and impressed by your kid. Mine is back from the first 2 years of college, and at a family dinner, threw in something recently from one of her psychology classes that explained how framing matters from a study in which people heard about the rise in crime in the fictional city of Addison. The paragraph everybody in the study was introduced to started with the same sentence, but for one group, the sentence was, "Crime is a beast ravaging the city of Addison." And for the other group, it was, "Crime is a virus ravaging the city of Addison." And then stats, and then people were asked to come up with solutions. Some people just off the top of their head, others given a list to choose from. And those who heard that crime was a beast were most likely to choose or think of on their own solutions that were about law enforcement. While those who heard first that crime was a virus were more likely to choose social interventions like better schools or support for people. This was true even if people didn't remember the metaphor that was used at the start of the paragraph they were read. And people, whether they remembered the metaphor or not, were pretty sure it didn't affect their choices. But it did. So it makes me think about metaphors, the metaphors we use, and how they covertly affect our thinking and our reasoning, as the study concludes that they do. How metaphor matters, how framing matters for how we step into things, maybe what we come expecting to find or live into. So my sermon feels a little more fraught, asking, what is the metaphor for church? Is church a turtle that we step into, safe, our tender insides, protected here, and then push our head out tentatively to face the world again, moving slowly forward through all that living in this world requires, which includes a hard shell? Yeah, I guess church is partly that. Is it a body like the Bible says about the people of God, each one playing its unique part, part of the whole together, the heart, the eye, the ear, the foot, the muscle, the bone, but together making it possible? Yes. Gifts we bring, different, all working together for this interdependence that's so much more powerful than any of us alone. Yes, we are a body. Paula Cole Jones, who's the co-author of The Eighth Principle, that commitment we all made in an effort to articulate our accountability to dismantling white supremacy and other systems of oppression that have become too much at the center of our society, and so the need for active and attentive dismantling. She doesn't like the metaphor of family that's so often used. Some of you may remember this from when she was here. Families, she is fond of saying, tell you who is and who is not welcome here in subtle and not so subtle ways. She thinks family is too insular a metaphor, too closed, and has this idea, as many of you know, of church as a community of communities. Different groups that we align with maybe move between a fluidity and a difference of identity or place or interest that each one calls us to live into, and all of that being who we are and what we make room for in that fluidity also. I liked that. I sit with her metaphor a lot. And a group of us are entering a study group that will meet 4 times a year with other churches, asking, how does that work? What does that look like if we live into that metaphor? I had a colleague recently, when we were all gathered, a group of us, talking about how overwhelming everything in the world can feel, all of the brokenness, all of the pain, all of the suffering, who said and used another metaphor which I loved and I want to share with you. I just want to give it to you as a gift and see if it works, though it's a silly metaphor in some ways. She said she likes to think of church like being in a canal boat with a lock system, where you're all in your little place and there's work to do in this place, raising the waters, everybody being equipped together, tending to what's around you and needs to be attended to in this moment, and then moving on in time to the next part of the lock, the next piece of the journey. I don't know if it's a perfect metaphor, but I have to say, the minute she said it, I could just feel this incredible relief in my whole body and spirit, the idea that sometimes you could just focus on what's right here that needs tending, and on equipping all of us to step into it and know that we're going to step into the journey ahead, all that awaits us. So I don't know, some weeks maybe I need to think of church as a canal boat, and us as passengers facing this piece of the journey. And then there's this metaphor of a garden, which we keep coming back to because it works so well. This garden that we tend and plant and harvest from together, and church as a garden that's represented in the bouquets that we make together, beautiful differences, even more extraordinary when they're up against each other. And the making of something larger and more extraordinary together, as we all can see right here in front of our eyes, which church is. We know that in our bones. We see it in the slides. And I suppose it's a garden that's sometimes of flowers and maybe has some vegetables planted, enough to feed us and enough to feed people who come wandering in. It nourishes body and spirit, this garden. It needs tending. It needs honest sharing. That's the sun, I imagine. The cool waters of kindness and care. The soil of place, rich with history and traditions that also gets turned over each year with what's added into it. And there's cross-fertilization in this garden, and it's always changing. And some days it's more like an English garden falling all over itself with things that just get planted there and take root. And some days it's a commons we all graze from. I like this metaphor for the sense of abundance and beauty and richness and diversity and earth connection. I think we get to choose our metaphors based on what we need, based on what the community is focused on. Thanks for sharing yours this morning. May they feed the way we step into community and how we shape it for greater power and wisdom and compassion as we have this year.
This church is many things to many people, and I love, and I think it's cool, the way that we are always trying to fill it up with meaning. Life, love, even death all play a role in it. I love the sanctuary part of the equation. Sanctuary. Like most words ending in uary, it means a container. In this case, containing sacred things, or each and all of you as sacred beings. In conversations, most notably and recently at the All Church Retreat, many of us have shared our history of leaving an overbearing or disingenuous or unsatisfying church, only to come out and find this one. people who've excommunicated themselves from a church or religion, all of us with our mishmash of experiences and beliefs, and who find strict adherence to a theology an anathema to our own spiritual growth. We found ourselves here in this sanctuary. Look at this place. Look at the amazing confluence of redwood beams and lintels and old-fashioned woodwork, castle-like quarried stone, festooned with these beautiful stained glass windows that came all the way west from Chicago. In 1887, the total cost of this building and land was $90,000. The stained glass windows, $2,250. Thank you, Reverend Dr. John Burens, for helping us learn so much about this place and its history. To me, if I had to give a metaphor for this church, I'd tell you that sometimes when I look up at this ceiling and the sturdy outside walls, I'm reminded of a giant fancy turtle shell. My mother would have loved that analogy. She collected statues of turtles. If this is our shell, then you and I are its heart and body. If there is a head, it must be all the homilies, sermons, and messages of the chancel and stories led by our senior minister, Vanessa Southern, and Reverend Laura Shenham, our minister of congregational life, and our wonderful, of course, creative worship associates, and everyone who speaks their truth from this chancel. This turtle has an organ, one that makes music, thanks to our glorious Reka Odelaine. I'm a big music fan, and singing with the choir under Mark Sumner is a joy and a pleasure. The music we make in our comfy turtle shell church for all to share is soul-satisfying and sustaining for my life and mood. Beautiful and welcoming inside this home where we come together has a special section for service animals, and that was another bonus for my coming back again and again. Many of you remember my old pal Nugget, who passed a year ago last month. He loved it here. Now I have this new sweet little Oreo to sit with me and see me through. We gather here safe and protected. However, part of the essence of our turtle, our tortoise, is readying the congregation's hearts and minds to counter some of the world's ills. We are a service-centered lot. I love all of you for that fact. Racism or white supremacy, homophobia, we have no room for these here. Our member Marty Vanderlyn, who regularly updates a sign for our Wednesday vigil of gun deaths each year, most notably of children's deaths by gun, will be glad to expound on that subject. The war in Gaza, we're all trying to wrap our hearts around this. But in the final analysis, we are all against war in all its forms, are we not? We are a powerful, passionate, beautiful, positive, forward-thinking bunch, dedicated to making this world a little more full of love and grace. I don't mind sharing that I'm in love with you. Bless us all.